and go to the throne of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord, for all the hymns that have been sung to thy glory. And Lord God, now we are about to go into thy word. And Father God, we pray that all present will have open ears and open hearts, and that we will receive what you will have us to hear and know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The thought I would like to share with everyone this evening, seeking lost treasure. The Pharisees had a lot of complaints about Jesus. But one of their ongoing complaints that Jesus received and ate with sinners. That was one of their ongoing complaints, that he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And it is recorded that three different times in Luke, how the scribes and Pharisees murmured against Christ's disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Christ's answer, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Seeking lost treasure. The Lord Jesus often taught in parables. And Christ tried to explain to the Pharisees through parables why they shouldn't be surprised that he was seeking to save that which was lost. Because it happens every day. Every day, people search for lost valuables. Every day, this happens. People searching for their lost valuables. And so we'll turn to Matthew 18, reading one of the parables that he gives in this regard about seeking for lost valuables. Matthew 18, and starting at the 11th verse, the Lord is speaking, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Well, perhaps us city folks, us New Yorkers, can't really relate to a shepherd losing his sheep and going out into the hills to find this lost sheep. But what we can relate to, and we see it all the time, that pet owners, when they lose a cat or a dog, and they'll put up posters like these. Yeah. Have you seen Spot? Have you seen JJ? Have you seen Lassie? And that's what happened with Solomon, Wren, and I when I lost our beloved cat. And we put up posters all over the area where I lost the cat. So we can understand about how people, they're looking for valuables. And some may ask, well, what was the monetary worth of the cat? Well, he was an alley cat. I found him in the street. I literally found him in the street. So as far as monetary worth, dollars and cents, nah, he wasn't worth anything as far as money, but he was worth a lot to us because we loved him. And you, me, we're worth a lot to Jesus. Not because we got money, not because we're smart, but because he loves us. And we're his offspring. He made us. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So when you love something, it's valuable. And maybe others can't see the value. They say, oh, well, it's just another alley cat. Maybe others don't realize the value. But love makes all the difference. And that's what Jesus, he loves us. So we are treasure to the Lord, seeking lost treasure. So if no one else thinks you're valuable, precious, a treasure, Jesus Christ does. And that's why he came from heaven to earth, searching to find that which was lost. And in his eyes, we are treasure because we are his offspring. We are his creation. Another parable he used to try to explain to the Pharisees about seeking after valuable items. Let's turn to Luke, the 15th chapter. And we'll start at the 8th verse. And this is something that both country and city folks can relate to. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Well, we can relate to searching for money when you misplace money, and especially when you need it, how you'll sweep the house, how you'll open up the drawers looking for money that you need. And one case happened to me. It's happened, I'm afraid, more than once, but this particular case, we had a check, Solomon and I. We were sent a check, and I thought I had given it to him. Well, anyway, it wasn't in the house, and then I said, oh no, I must have thrown it away. So it was winter, and you know, it was at night, but what you gonna do? And the garbage was already out on the street, but our rent was coming up and we really needed the money. And so guess what we did? We went out into the garbage. Amen. And we searched for it until we found it. And we often describe earth compared to as a junkyard. The splendor of heaven, the beauty of heaven, really can't be described. But the most lovely, enchanting spot on earth, if you're from the West Indies, if you've been to Hawaii, if you've seen the Rocky Mountains, and maybe you find a nice spot in somewhere in New York City. But the most lovely, enchanting spot on earth is nothing but a junkyard compared to heaven. But this is what our Lord did for us. Our Lord left the beauties, the wonders, the joys of heaven to come into this junkyard because he said, we're worth it. We're treasure to him. And sometimes you'll see these guys pushing these large carts. They probably belong to the post office, Joey. So you could report them if you want to. Yeah. Oh, okay. He retired from the post office. But they're pushing these large carts, and they go into the freight entrance where they keep the garbage. You've seen it, I'm sure. And they go through the iron bins, you know, where the garbage trucks, those iron tubs. And they're searching. You're thinking, well, what could they be looking for? Well, they know what they're looking for. They're looking for these wires and steel and iron or, oh, copper. Oh, Miss Muse knows. Do you push it too?
No.
Okay. Anyway. But yeah, okay, they're looking for copper. And so evidently, whoever threw it away didn't find it any value. But the guys pushing the cart knows that they are valuable. And he knows how to redeem them or get money from them. So again, this is what Jesus did for us. Because even though we may not have money, unfortunately, in our society, it does seem like the ones who are valued the most are the ones who have the money. If you have money and you need an organ transplant, you get in front of the line. But they say one person's more important than the other. But all of us, rich or poor, black or white, Jew, Gentile, we're all valuable to Jesus. Not only because we're his offspring, we're his creation, but because we have a soul, an immortal soul. And he doesn't want it to be destroyed or perish in hell. That's why he said, this is a treasure. And I came seeking after lost treasure. And I don't want it to be wasted. I don't want it to be thrown into the garbage of hell. I want it to be saved. And that's what Jesus Christ, again, did for us. And we know that we're worth a lot to God. My husband often used these expressions. I know Ren has one. I got one. Maybe you have one. Have you ever been to the 99-cent shop? You know, they sell everything there. They got alarm clocks. Now, I got this from a 99-cent shop. Okay? And they'll say, well, it's not worth much, because I only paid 99 cents. But now, if you go to a real jewelry shop, like a Rolex, and I'm not talking about that bootleg Rolex, but when you go to Rolex, and those watches would cost easily from $2,000 to $10,000. So whose watch is the most valuable? Well, hands down, they'll say the Rolex watch. Forget about this 99 cents thing. But we know that we're treasure to God because of what it cost to redeem us, to save us. It cost the blood of his son. And it is recorded in 1 Peter, and I'll read it for you, the first chapter, the 18th and 19th verses. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. So, in the eyes of God, we're more valuable than silver and gold. It took more than silver and gold to redeem us. It took the blood of his son. Now, unfortunately, in our society, and I'll go as far as to say in the Western world, our culture has become somewhat anti-child. A society that glorifies abortion as some sacred right. can't really appreciate children. Children, for many people, are looked upon as a burden, financial burdens, or hindrances. You can't go out if you have a kid. You got to stay home. You got to raise your child. And because of this mentality, one of the after effects is that it calls people to harden their hearts and not appreciate the sacrifice that God made for us, that He sent His Son, that He had His Son to die for us. You tell a couple that, a couple who just came from the abortion clinic, got rid of the baby and feels no remorse, and say, you know, God sent His Son to die for you. And they think, well, what's the big deal? I just got rid of my baby. What's the big deal? But if you could see past this evil indoctrination, perhaps you are a parent who does love your child, but if you can see past this evil indoctrination, then you can appreciate more the sacrifice that God made for us, that He sent His Son. And usually, if it's between a father and a son, we're talking about a regular relationship, and for whatever reason, say if the son is sick, and from no fault of his own, he's sick. Well, the father will wish he could bear that sickness. If that's what it would take to relieve his son, he would say, I wish I could bear the sickness. Or even a mother with her baby, if something was wrong with, she would have preferred it was her. And one time, this particular actor, his child was killed in a car accident, and the mother was driving, and she walked away without a scratch, and she was just crying, why hadn't it been me? That's the natural reaction, that a parent does not want to bury a child, that a parent loves the child, doesn't want to see the child suffer. But since that's what it took to save us, God went through with it. And why? Because He thinks we're special. You may not even think you're special, but God says you are. And He proved it by sending His Son. And that's why John 3:16 reads, for God so loved the world. So, what does that little word mean? His love is so great, immeasurable, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And a lot of people find it hard to believe that God does love and love us. And there's a hymn, Paul Revison reminded me of it, how God looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. Because we know ourselves and we know the people we live with, and you wonder, how could God love him? But then you think, well, how could God love me? But even David, the king, he was wondering about God's love. It's so beautiful. Let's turn to Psalm 8. And it must have been a dark night, clear night. And King David was looking up into the sky, the night sky, and saw all the stars, the greatness of God's handiwork. Psalm 8, 3 and 4, and it reads, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Why would God even be bothered with us? He's almighty, he's all powerful, he has it all. He doesn't need us. But it's because he is love. God is love. And because of his great love, he does not want his beloved offspring, his beloved, that immortal soul, his beloved treasure, to be thrown into hellfire. And that's why he sent his son seeking lost treasure. Because God is love. He is love. Perhaps there's something or someone you really value. Perhaps it's a wife or a husband, a friend. Perhaps it's a watch. Perhaps you have something in your house. Maybe it's a ring that was once your grandmother's or your dad's. Something you really, really value. Maybe it's photographs, but you wouldn't want it to be thrown out. You wouldn't want it to break or to get damaged. God does not want us to be thrown into hell. So he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So the question is, will you accept God's love? Do you believe you are treasure to God? And will you accept what he's done for you? So for a postscript, a PS for this particular message, perhaps this evening after you leave, you may run into a friend. And the friend will say, hey, where you been? I've been looking for you. And you'll tell your friend, well, I was at Grace and Hope Mission. I went to church. Oh, your friend will say, yeah, really? Well, did you have a nice time? You say, oh, it's okay, it's okay. And then your friend may ask, well, did somebody speak? Yeah, it was this woman preacher. Okay. Well, what did she talk about? Something about seeking lost treasure. Seeking lost treasure, yeah? So what's the treasure? What's the treasure? Us? Us? What do you mean? Well, what's the treasure? You and me? People. People. People are the treasure. People. People the treasure? Well, who's seeking after these people? Jesus. Jesus is seeking after people who he calls treasure. Lost treasure. Yeah. Okay. Well, were you found? Will you be found? Will you remain a lost treasure? Or will you remain a found treasure?
I'll remain a found treasure.
All right.
And that's a question that only you can answer. Are you in the lost department or are you in the found department? You know, you go to the go or you go to the airport and you say, my sister was in Disneyland a couple weeks ago with her family, Disney World, and she lost her wallet. And when she realized it was evening and she had some money in it that she was planning to use on her trip home to pay for the car service at the airport, and she had a credit card in it, so she called her husband quick, and he of course canceled the credit card, and then she called the lost and found department in Disney, and this was Sunday night, so she had to wait till the following morning, and she went, well, to make a long story short, they found her wallet, and everything was intact, so that was a good story. And you know, that could be the story of our life. We are lost, But are we going to be found? Yes, we can be found. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can find us and save us. And someone has said that the most simplest words in the world, and yet the ones that are most profound, is Jesus loves me. And we're going to sing that song. Everybody thinks it's a children's song, but it's not. It's for all of us. Because where would we be if Jesus did not love us? So we stand to sing 327, the story of Jesus' love for you and me. And if you haven't accepted that love tonight, we invite you to come and give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he loves you. The Bible says God loves us with an everlasting love, a love that never stops. God so loved the world, and that's you. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus love?
Me.
Me. Who does Jesus love?
Me.
Me. Okay, sing it out.
Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in.
Who does Jesus love?
Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
The wonderful thing about God's Word and the plan of salvation is that it's universal.
Amen.
But even more outstanding than that is that it's personal.
Amen.
God so loved the world, true, but God loved you as an individual, and he invites you to come, and he will stay by your side all the way, because he bled and died for you, and he loves you, and the Lord has never put a price tag on us, except that it cost heaven its very best, and that's how much we're worth, and I trust you realize that, and we'll accept that tonight, and become a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me, I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Oh, precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for those beautiful words that you do love us. And because you love us, oh Lord, you gave us a pathway to receive that great love that we may in return love you. Father, we pray that your word has gone forth to touch hearts. Oh God, we pray that each man and woman here tonight may realize how important it is to know Jesus as their personal Savior from sin. And that before leaving this place tonight, oh God, that they could say, yes, not only do I know Jesus loves me, but I love him too because I know him as my Savior. So, Father, we ask that you will dismiss us now with your blessings. Continue to deal with hearts that are, Father, just trying to battle against you, that they may realize, Father, life is too short to play games with their soul. And help them to give themselves up to serving you. We thank you, O God. And we had to, as children of the Lord, realize we have to die to self. That's what it's all about, self. And that we could put Christ in the center of all things, not I, but Christ. So, Father, dismiss us now with your blessings and bless the food. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.